I invite you today to listen to this coaching conversation, receive insight and learning that allow you to grow yourself up in the context of your marriage. Today's questions revolve around, what do you do to protect yourself? How can you open up yourself and your heart for emotional connection with your wife? You see, as men, we oftentimes will guard our heart and guard ourselves against the very thing that we want the most. But you see, we guard ourselves and we end up getting the very thing we want the least, is rejection. And so if you're looking to change your patterns or even grow yourself up in marriage, I invite you to listen to this coaching conversation. And if you're an Enneagram 8 and or enjoy the Enneagram, listen to the insights from his perspective on what it means to be an Enneagram 8 in the context of a marriage and how he can be more authentic and open himself up in a way that fuels emotional growth, spiritual growth, relational growth, and sexual growth in the context of their marriage. Peace and courage to you on your journey. Enjoy today's coaching conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I'm honored to have a friend and a sojourner brother that is going to be coached today. We have spent time in a warm-up call figuring out which direction he is going to go, specifically dissecting his executive role that he's recently left and challenges around he and his wife. And so we're going to get started in a coaching call today with Drew. And just to frame this conversation for everybody else who's listening, coaching is just really one big sandbox. There's not a right way or wrong way to do this. We are here having a conversation, and my heart and posture is to draw out insight and awareness that allows Drew to be whole. And sometimes, honestly, that happens in 10, 20 minutes of a call together. And so my posture of that is that he has what he has needed for today. Other times, sometimes it happens in 60 minutes. So don't miss the opportunity to receive coaching today as you listen to this and your own relationship challenges that may or may not be going on. And also don't box ourselves in on investing in a coach bound by time, because adult learning theory shows that we actually will take action around one insight versus going longer in a session than what we actually need. So we will get started. Drew, thanks for being here today and honored to sit with you and journey with you. I know, as you said, well, I'm not the expert. The reality is that as we dive into this marriage topic that I don't know anything about, for everybody else, we are all in the process of growing up in marriage. Marriage makes us ready for marriage. Marriage grows us up for marriage. So I'm with you on the journey. So what would be most meaningful and helpful to you, Drew, by the time that this conversation is complete?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Lance. I appreciate you offering the invitation to do this today and being able to kind of just talk through some of this stuff. And I've got my notepad out, so I'm going to try not to make any noise, but I may write things down as we do this, because I certainly don't have the best memory at times. So it's good for me to write things down and be able to go back and look at specific things that I learn in this conversation. So I look forward to it. But yeah, my wife and I have been married for 13 years, roughly. That'll be coming up after the first of the year. And we've had a very challenging marriage, I would say. I don't know if there are any that are not challenging, but ours, I would say, would be very challenging compared to a lot of other people I've talked to. And here recently, we actually had gotten to a really good place. And I felt like we were in a better place than we have been, maybe than at any other point in our full relationship together, which is over 14 years now. And that kind of got derailed 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it feels like we've gotten back into some of the old patterns of, you know, the ways that we fight or argue or disagree and kind of, you know, check out in our own ways. So really just talking through that and maybe allowing me to gain some insights into, you know, what can I do for myself? What can I change about me or about my thinking that will allow us to kind of work towards getting back to that spot where we were a few weeks ago, where, you know, it felt like we were in, you know, a really good place and better than we had been in a long time.
What do you suppose needs to change or shift in you?
I thought you were gonna just have all the answers to my questions, Lance. You know, it's a very, very good question. The easiest thing I would say would be just dying to myself. You know, I'm a believer, and so scripture, you know, really talks about selfishness and how much, especially as husbands, we have to die to ourselves, which can be a challenge for me as a, you know, type A, you know, driven 8 Enneagram, you know, leader, matter of fact, logical thinker. I want to do things as efficiently as possible and just kind of keep moving at a very fast pace. So that can certainly get in the way. You know, whenever I'm thinking more about myself or more about the future than I am about what's going on right now and, you know, what does my wife need in this moment or in this season or even in this day, you know, just to reflect on the past more. And when I say past, I mean like the past few weeks, reflect on the past few weeks and just, you know, what does she need more? So that's not something I typically do. I'm very vision and future oriented. So checking in with myself on what she needs is certainly something that I need to do more and could help in this situation.
Well, I want to pause for a moment and just say thank you for taking a risk to even be authentic and honest in this space. One, to be served, but also, you know, those that are listening to be served as well and receive something that could be helpful for their marriage.
Absolutely.
What is it for you, Drew? You mentioned the Enneagram and you kind of gave a little bit more context about what you need today. Knowing that you're an Enneagram 8 now, I'm going to ask, I may ask this question a few times, and it's not because I don't have any other question to ask, but I think this allows us to go deep quicker. What do you do to protect yourself?
Just in general?
No, in the context with your wife.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I was waiting for more to the question. What do I do to protect myself? I mean, in the negative sense, I am certainly, I would say, very defensive. I wouldn't even say a little bit defensive. I would say I get very defensive. So that is how I protect myself, in an unhealthy way.
Okay. Like I said, I'm not going to try to innovate the question. What else? What other ways do you protect yourself from your wife?
Is this positive and negative, just anything? Or is it specifically around negative? Okay.
The desire is to make this whole. So you're the one that's inserting negative. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it is if I think that I'm going to get rejected, I certainly am not nearly as apt to ask, regardless of what that is, right, in any facet. But if I think I'm going to get rejected, I protect myself by just not asking or not going there. Or if I think I'm going to get hurt, honestly. So just if there is a subject that I think maybe I should talk about this, or maybe we need to discuss this, but if I think I'm going to get hurt in the discussion, I am far less likely to ask, even if I feel like, you know, in the back of my mind, we need resolution to this, you know, conflict, or we need resolution in this area of our relationship. It's still a hesitation based on negative outcome of what I perceive may happen. Okay.
What else? How else do you protect yourself from your wife?
Those are the first couple of things that come to mind. I mean, I would say if I was, I guess I would say this because I've been, you know, in therapy, counseling, et cetera, a good bit through our relationship, but, I wouldn't really know this otherwise, but I do guard myself to a degree and guard my emotions to a degree, from letting her see everything that's going on with me, you know, trying to remain more stoic about certain things, or not letting certain things affect me. And I mean, that, you know, I guess could be positive. You may hear from some people that would be positive, but also if it keeps your spouse from knowing you better, or it protects, you know, ego, or anything like that, then it's probably not necessarily serving in the way that one would expect.
I want to circle back just to our agreement for today's conversation and the shift, insight, change that you need. What would be most meaningful to you? And let's just frame it maybe in 48 hours. Maybe that's just a helpful way to look at it. And I'll insert that in there. Like, what do you need in the next 48 hours for this to be helpful for you in the context of your marriage?
Actionable insight. I mean, you know, I'm very action oriented. So what can I do to change things? So that's what would help me specifically? Yeah, actionable insight. What can I do to better pursue my wife? Because I know that if I do pursue her, that I'm going to get back to a place of deeper connection with her, which, you know, will change the trajectory of, you know, where we are currently in fights, disagreements, whatever, if we're in deeper connection. And I know that she desires to be pursued as part of the way that she connects to me.
Well, at the expense of jumping too far ahead, just another quick pause, just to say, like, this is super, super common in, I mean, even coaching conversation right before this, is that as men, as leaders, as executives, we have this tendency to go into doing, like, hey, like, what's the checklist, right? Like, I want three things. I want a roadmap by the time our conversation is done today. There's nothing wrong with that philosophy and method, but I think I heard some underlying desires as well So as I ask this next question, it can lead to the roadmap, but it's not necessarily going to get us at the three action points, right? So in what ways can you open yourself up to her?
Can you reframe the question or give me some ideas?
Okay, so if an Enneagram 8 protects, defends, seeks justice, right? Hard charging, very task oriented, and there's this softness under the veneer, if you can get to the softness. But the reality is Enneagram's 8 is they're charging full steam ahead, that nobody rarely sees that softness. So with that as kind of the foreground to the question, you know, as you mentioned, pursue, what does pursue mean to you in the context of opening up yourself to her?
In the context of opening myself up to her, I mean, I'm probably starting with even something as basic as, because I've not done this, just having a conversation with her, that is centered around, I feel like, and I think you feel like, I mean, I know that she does because it came out, but both of us felt like we were in a better place than we had been in a long time. We are not there now. You know, the last 2-3 weeks have been choppy. What can I do to help us get back to that place? Or how can I better serve her? So it'd be a question for her. How can I better serve you to help us get back to that place? But I guess the point being, just even opening myself up to the conversation of, hey, I know where we are. I know where we were, and I want to get back to where we were. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does that mean for right now?
Explain a little bit more about what you mean.
No, just in terms of pursuit, right? You use the word pursuit very clearly a couple of times earlier.
Mm.
What does pursue mean to you?
I don't know that I have a really good explanation for that, but I would say it would at least start with pursuing her best interest, pursuing her heart, if you will, on like this, where we've been, getting back to the good place or whatever, but pursuing whatever's going on inside of her, knowing her, understanding her. I think, you know, speaking about scripture, living with your wife in an understanding way, or living with her according to knowledge, that would be knowing her better. So I think the pursuit, one aspect of that would be knowing her better and just finding out where she is mentally and emotionally right now with all of what we're talking about, versus just, you know, being in my head about it.
What do you need right now in this part of our, what I call, meta conversation? Like, what's going on with you? What do you need right now?
It's a great question that I don't know that I have the answer to, other than, you know, if we're talking about pursuit, ideas on how to pursue specifically given, you know, the situation that we are in with our relationship and how to pursue her heart more, how to pursue her more, in order to draw deeper connection, etc. So insights from you on how to do that basically is kind of what I'm getting at, I guess.
Be happy to share in a moment, maybe closer to the end of our time together. For the sake of drawing out a little bit more awareness, what do you fear? Earlier you kind of mentioned this idea of that you protect yourself, you know, from essentially rejection, right? What is it that you fear as you consider pursuing her?
That's probably a very deep question for me because I don't really do hypotheticals very much, because I'm very black and white. So I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about the what ifs. So that's probably a hard and deep question for me to get to an answer on. But as it relates to just what I know about myself and the ways that my ego can get hurt, would be fearing that I am going to feel like I'm not enough, or like I don't measure up, or like I'm, you know, not a good husband, or, you know, I can't do XYZ right, which could be even the pursuit of her. Like, well, I'm just a failure because I don't know how to pursue my wife. So those would be kind of the fear, where I think the fears lie. Failure, in one word.
So the perception of failure will cause you not when it comes to where we in.
I think I lost you there, Lance. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay.
I'm back. Yeah. So the failure ultimately, like right, whenever we're done with this call, and you end up with your roadmap, perception of failure is keep you back from pursuing her. All right, so we're just in one big sandbox playing, right? So we're just coming up with ideas, possibilities. What do you know that, if we're going to be mechanic about this for a moment, what do you know in 14 years of marriage that does work when you pursue her?
I feel like it changes. I feel like it changes with time, and I don't have a really good grasp on it. But if I pursue her, like if I date her, for sure. I mean, if we, you know, just have date nights, that type thing, she always enjoys that and feels loved on, cared for, etc. whenever we do that.
Okay. For those listening who listen to the other podcast, you know, that's the first question I ask every guest is, what's the last date that you've been on? And what does that reveal about your leadership? So now it's an opportunity for you to share. What's the last date that you've been on with your wife?
Yeah, so we, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. Might have been two and a half weeks ago. I'm trying to remember which weekend this was. Actually, no, a week and a half ago. Yeah. We went and watched the SEC championship game since she pulled for one team and I pulled for the other. And we watched that together. And then afterwards we went to dinner. So that was about a week and a half ago.
And did she feel pursued?
You know, that was a weird that was a weird one. That was kind of a date night because our daughter was with the in-laws. So it was kind of a just we're gonna do this because we don't have our daughter more than like, hey, let's plan a date night and go out. So I don't know that one was nearly as good, or if she would say she felt pursued with that one compared to, you know, other opportunities whenever it's more of a, it's something that was more planned or that was planned specifically by me. I think there's a, for her anyway, there is a difference in, oh, we just don't have our daughter and we're going to go out, you know, to dinner versus specifically making plans to have a date night by, you know, getting a sitter or whatever.
Yeah. Would that be something worth experimenting with? Is this like a possible first step on your roadmap back to pursuing her?
Yeah. I mean, of course we're recording this, here, what are we, 2 weeks from Christmas or less, whatever it is now. So going to be challenging to do that with, you know, family coming into town and us going out of town for family anytime real soon. So I don't know that that would be a great first step right now, just with everything going on. But if we, I mean, it's maybe next week sometime it will be a possibility. To at least be a step, if not the first step.
Yeah. And I guess you know, a lot of times, you know, we hear the mantra like, you know, date your wife type of deal. And it can get to this place of like, well, there wasn't a lot of intention or thought or meaning behind that. And ultimately, I think I still hear this sense of desire from you of like there's got to be more. Like, right, like we can go on a date and check that box, right? But once again, like, right, your wife is not something to do metaphorically when it comes to checklist.
Mm-hmm.
So with or without the date night, how do you navigate this place of making yourself open to her and go to experience this potential, you know, this rejection. Because I think the further that you travel down this path is a path that's worth exploring in your own maturation process, per se.
And that of just how do I open myself up more to her?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that I have good commentary further on how I do that. But I do think that it would probably, I mean, if I slow down, move at a very fast pace, typically speaking, if I slowed down more and checked in with myself to know where I was or what was going on with me, you know, am I worried? Am I anxious, you know, about anything? And if so, what is it? And then communicate that more with her, that would, you know, allow her to see more into what's going on with me. But I would have to slow down and know what's going on with me to you know, speak any of that stuff to her, to allow her, you know, to be allow myself to be more open to her. I would have to know myself better, check in myself.
So I feel anxious, or I feel sad, or I feel disconnected could all be possible starting points to open yourself up to her. Or I feel out of control, or I feel not seen, not validated, not loved. I mean, we could keep running down the list of typical things that men feel, but we have a hard time expressing those things.
Mm-hmm.
What resonates with you when I kind of run through that short I feeling statements?
I mean, part of it is I feel anxious about money. And you and I spoke a little bit before we started recording about that, and you know, what's going on there, and stepping away from a W-2 position to, you know, do more of my own thing. And I've got projects that I'm working on, but they will take many months to come to completion and to make money. And so certainly there's, I feel some anxiety around, you know, how much money we're spending, Christmas time, all that, and just trying to not want to, or trying to not force things with these projects. So just needing to try to be more patient. So I feel anxious about money in general, but then just, am I being patient enough? Am I being too slow, too patient with work, etc.?
So if money equals security, for example, is it fair to say that there's a feeling of feeling insecure?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's unfair to say. Feeling of insecurity about the financial future, for sure.
Okay. So when you feel insecure, what is it that you want to do? Typically in this pattern, right? There's the withdrawal, protect, run, hide, you know, blame, shame, control, withdrawal type of deal happening. So what is it when you feel insecure, what is it that you want to do, Drew?
I think control is certainly would be high on that list. Control everything. Control everything possible. Yeah, that's a definitely a knee-jerk reaction about that. To, you know, control finances, or, you know, what are we spending or what are we doing, etc. Based on the insecure feeling, or the even fear about if we do this or if we do that, or if this project doesn't, you know, happen in the time frame that I think it should. So, you know, controlling certainly would be high on that list.
Let me check in. What are you learning about yourself right now that's helpful?
I don't know that I would have ever said that I feel insecure about money. So that's something that I just learned, and I don't disagree with it, you know, the way that you brought it up and the questions that you asked. I would have probably just said anxious about the future, or about how these things are going to work out with the projects that I'm working on, but feeling insecure about the financial future is actually a sentence that I, or a phrase I wrote down there. I would not have thought that. So that is certainly something that's a learning spot for me.
If we're to circle back to just part of an outcome agreement of what you want or need, and just this pursuit of your wife in this particular season that you're in, how can you begin to use some of the language just in the last few moments to open yourself up to her?
Yeah, I mean, talking to her about those things that I'm feeling. So, you know, checking in with myself to know what's going on. And then after that, you know, talking to her about those things that I discover or that I'm feeling so that I can open myself up more to her. Which, I mean, I absolutely believe that if I, as an Enneagram 8, you know, I want to say if I did that well, that, you know, it would work out. But I'm trying to not, you know, quite make it like a doing it and a tasking, but that could potentially, you know, do more than a date night, especially a date night that was just, oh, it's, you know, the second Thursday of the month, we're doing date night. If there was just more intentional conversation, regardless of if it was just at home after our daughter's in bed or on a date night or, you know, on the, you know, road to pick up Christmas gifts or, you know, whatever. Just having some more intentional conversation.
Watching your body language right now, it appeared to me, I could be wrong, so feel free to course correct me. It appeared that there's like a little bit of an insight, like when you said, and you lean back in your chair, like opening yourself up in this way potentially has a greater return than just another date night. What do you think your body language and even the posture of like opening yourself up, like, right, you put your hands behind your head, open your chest up, like what do you think that's even saying about that insight for you right now?
I think it gives more. It's so easy to just go through life without being intentional. And even when I think I'm being intentional, I don't think I'm being that intentional. And so slowing down, talking through some of this stuff, writing things down, allowing myself to think more and deeper about some of these things, I think just that's just what it says to me, or what what my mind opened up to, is that, you know, I am fiscally responsible for the most part. Mm-hmm. And date nights usually are not, you know, Chipotle. They're usually going to be something that costs more. So I already have probably a little bit of a, I don't want to say negative connotation with a date night, but I have a little bit of a hard time with, okay, well, now I got to pay a sitter, and, you know, we're not going to a cheap place to eat because my wife likes nice things, you know, or whatever. So there is some hesitation with, you know, date nights, et cetera, in general, especially right now with, you know, the financial situation with working on these projects that I won't get paid on for a long time. But just thinking about how much better could a date night be if there was intentional conversation, or if we didn't even necessarily, like I said, have to do a date night. And it's just like, let's just have intentional conversation about whatever, about what's going on with the two of us, and what the rewards could be from those type conversations, which, you know, back to our previous thoughts, I mean, there's certainly fear of rejection around that, because just because I want to talk about this stuff or because I want to be intentional with our conversation does not mean that that's a space that she's going to be in, that she's going to be ready for it. So, you know, having to think about the rejection, if I want to go deeper, but she doesn't want to, or she doesn't want to connect in that way or whatever it is, there's certainly fear of rejection there. I don't know that I was trying to connect another thought after that, but I think I lost it. But just thinking about that and how, I mean, living intentional life is hard. Like it's very, very hard work to do. And I think that's where the reward is. I think that's where, you know, meaning comes from, and being more wholehearted, et cetera. But it definitely is, it's hard work.
For sure. Let me check in with you. I have one or two thoughts, but what do you need for this conversation to be complete today?
I think I told you earlier, maybe before we started recording, that this is very much I'm open to whatever, so I don't know that I have an end goal, so to speak, of what I need for the conversation to be complete. But any feedback based on these things from you, I think that's, you know, certainly what I would want to talk about before we ended the conversation. It's just feedback based on what you've heard, so that I could potentially draw more insights from, you know, you, the third party, talking about our relationship with my wife, and kind of what your insights are just based on what you've heard me say today.
Yeah. I think going back to what I've already said, like, right, marriage grows us up for marriage, and the only thing that I'm responsible for is cleaning my side of the street. And that's a very tall task and a very difficult task, right? As especially as men, and probably the majority of the people listening are men, is that our propensity is to go and fix and clean the other side of the street, right? So you kind of made a comment or remark, just like, well, I don't know how she's going to respond or if she's going to be open to the conversation. Well, the beauty is that you don't have to control that element. Like, right, you're just responsible for holding the broomstick on your side of the street and just saying, you know what, like, I feel in this moment a little bit out of control. I feel in this moment a little insecure around the holidays and Christmas and the gifts that we're buying. I know these things aren't true, right? We have money, we're doing what we needed to do to be good stewards. So what I'm going to choose to do is to be mindful, and I'm going to look at our receipts. I'm going to choose to be mindful about, like, you know what, like, our next planned intentional date night could be 6 weeks from now. That way we can have a more extravagant date night that you live into and value on an intentional life. But in the meantime, how do I still make meaningful connections and conversations happen? If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
What'd you hear?
Just the meaningful conversation, meaningful connection, et cetera, in the meantime. And I think that's the biggest thing that I'm taking away, is just that, you know, we don't have to wait for a date night or whatever else to really connect more intentionally. And honestly, if we are waiting for that, then, you know, probably never going to get to a good place if we're only talking about meaningful things on date night. So yeah, just being more intentional with meaningful emotional conversations, so that we can connect more in that way, which, as I know my wife for sure, I mean, the emotional connection, the emotional aspect, you know, is kind of where everything starts. So if that's not happening or going well, or whatever you want to call it, you know, there's not going to be a whole lot else to build on in the relationship.
Yeah. Two thoughts, and maybe we're getting close to complete. One, how do you pay attention to yourself? Earlier, you kind of mentioned the space of, like, you know what? I just need to slow down so I can even know what is happening, right? Mind, body, soul, spirit, feelings. So what do you need to do to ensure that you can serve your wife and serve yourself really in this way?
Yeah. I mean, creating time and space, and being less connected to outcomes, as a, you know, driven individual, and, you know, wanting to spend as much time as possible on these projects that I'm working on. And, like, to give you an idea, one of the projects is probably going to take 8 months to complete, you know, before I would get paid on it, but there's not 40 hours worth of work in a week that I could work on towards that. So, like, at some point I've got to realize that regardless of how much work I do on this project, it's not going to get completed for 8 months. So I need to peel off, you know, probably set aside, like, this is how many hours, you know, a day or a week I'm working on this project. Because I could spend 40 hours a week working on this project, but it's not going to be fruitful. Because it's not going to move the needle. So serving myself, to then serve her. So just setting aside specific time, like, hey, this is when I'm going to check in with myself, and try to think about these things, and maybe even write some, a journal or something like that, to try to understand more about what I'm feeling and what I'm going through, so that I can have, so that I can be less reactive or defensive, you know, with anything else that comes my way. And so I can have more meaningful connection and conversation with her.
You ready for a challenge?
Absolutely.
And when I offer this, you feel free to say no. I've already asked you the question, but here's the challenge. Just take, say, the next 3 days, maybe the next week, and feel free to message me back when this is complete. Spend some time, journal, thought in your process and in your head and your heart. How can I open myself up today to my wife?
Okay.
Just whatever time of day, whenever that happens, just message me of what that looks like. Because I think every day it's going to look a little bit differently, but, like, the challenge not only allows you to slow down to pay attention to yourself, but then there's also like the sense of action out of it that you can take outside of this coaching conversation and ultimately really keep the action going in your life and in your marriage.
Okay.
All right. How does that sound?
I like it. No, right. Yeah, that sounds good.
Is that a fair enough roadmap that's not overwhelming, but yet relevant, timely, helpful, meaningful?
Yeah, as the overachiever in me wants to say, where's the other seven things? But but no, that's that in and of itself, especially with everything that we have going on with we've got two family Christmases over the next 5 days here. So that in and of itself will be a challenge, just to make sure I'm stopping and thinking about that on a daily basis, versus getting caught up in, you know, everything that we have going on. It is a challenge accepted.
All right. Well, I look forward to hearing from you. Drew, thank you for taking a risk today to be served, to receive coaching, and to be a blessing to those who listened as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lance.